Psalm number 91 in your Bible. Psalm 91 in the Word of God tonight. Amen. Wonderful psalm. Lord, I suppose helping us, this will be our last message out of this psalm. You pray for us tonight that God would speak to our hearts and help us as His children to realize the glorious blessings and privileges that God has given you and I as His child. It's wonderful to know that we're children of God. And that means I'm under His watch care, His protection. He's going to provide for me. He's my Father. And He will take care of us. And I think folks today need to get a hold of that more than anything else in the world. Amen. Really get a hold of the fact that we belong to Him and He takes care of His own under any circumstance or situation that may come along. Okay? Psalm 91, I'm going to begin reading again tonight in verse number 8. He said, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Amen. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Amen. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Amen. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now may the Lord bless that. Let's look to Him in a moment of prayer tonight and ask God's help on the service. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of God. Thank you for the songs of Zion that we've sang, the hymns of faith that belong to the children of God. I'm grateful tonight for your blessings, for your rich mercy and love and grace. I'm thankful tonight, Lord, for the house of God, for your people. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would breathe upon us now tonight. May that Spirit that, Lord, is referred to as the wind in John 3 blow through this place tonight. And Lord, may hearts be quickened, children come alive in God. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd revive your saints and bless your people. Help those that are sick. Help those that are afflicted. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd give grace and help to Brother Hall. I need your divine help, your power. I need unction that only the Spirit of God can give. Provide us with liberty now and your divine presence in this place. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, I want to read verse number 14 tonight. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name." Now, I tried to preach a little while this morning on the features or some of the features of a character, the character of a child of God out of these verses. And I want to look back at them again tonight. And if God would be my helper, I want to preach for a little while on the privileges of the godly. The privileges of the godly. I'm thankful that the Lord has given you and I great and precious promises. He has also given us great privileges that others that are without God don't share. God has given you and I things as His children because of our relationship that those out in the world know absolutely nothing about. There are privileges that we have that the natural man cannot understand. He cannot see because his eyes are blinded and is ignorant to the truth of the Word of God. And therefore, he is not familiar in any way with the blessed privileges that God has for you and I as His people. Now, I want to say tonight that these privileges are a promise from God. And if you and I fail or neglect to seize upon these blessed truths, then we have nobody to blame but ourselves. It's not God's blame, not God's fault. He's given us of His Holy Spirit within us. He's given us a copy of the Word of God. He's given us the privilege to pray and the opportunity to call upon His wonderful name. So if we miss the privileges that God has provided for us, then it's nobody's fault but our own. And I want to mention tonight, and I'm going to hurry through these, Lord being my helper, but I see here at least seven privileges that God has afforded to you and I because we're His children. And not only His children, but because we're godly. And as I said in the morning hour, we're godly because He has made us godly. The Spirit of God dwells within us, and we are His children. And therefore, we are godly people. We take after God. We're conformed to the image of Christ. And we are godly people, and we have privileges. There is privileges that the godly have that others know nothing about. I want to mention, first of all, that the privilege that we have of deliverance. And I notice here in our text that that word deliverance is mentioned at least twice. Once in verse number 14, and once again in verse number 15. He said there, thou, in verse 14, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. What a privilege that is tonight, that we have to be delivered. There's others out there in the world that are still bound in sin and know nothing about the sweet deliverance that God gives to those that belong to Him. But hallelujah, I'm glad that God has delivered us tonight. He says again in verse 15, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Twice here, He gives us that blessed assurance that God will deliver us. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you really believe that? That God will deliver us in all situations, any circumstance that may develop in our life, that God has the power, God has the ability, God has the grace, God has the mercy to deliver us from that situation that develops within our life. I want to say quickly three things that God will deliver us from. I want to say, number one, He'll deliver us from our trouble. It says so here in our text. Somebody said, preacher, I don't have any trouble. You're a liar and your pants is on fire. Amen. The Bible said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It says that in Job 14:1. And as sure as the sparks fly upward, man is bound for trouble. And we're going to have troubles. I preached years ago a message on trouble, and more trouble. And I preached it because I preached on trouble. Then I preached again on trouble, and more trouble. Somebody said, why did you preach that, Brother Hall? Because it seemed like we're out of one trouble and right into another trouble. We're trouble prone, and troubles come our way. And may I say to you tonight, just because we are children of God does not exempt us from the troubles that fall upon humanity. If you'll read through the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find out that it rained on the just and the unjust. And the floods came on the just as well as the unjust. And the winds blew on both alike. But there was a great difference because the winds that blew on and the floods that came upon the house built upon the sand, the Bible said that it fell and great was the fall of it. But that house that was builded upon the rock, that is a child of God, the children of God. The Bible said that house did stand. And I'm telling you, it will yet stand today by the grace of God. Any house that's built upon that solid rock will stand today. It'll take the troubles, it'll take all the troubles the devil wants to dish out and keep on standing by the grace and the power of Almighty God. Now listen what the psalmist said in Psalm 34:6. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of A-double-L, all his trouble. Now what did I say that meant in the Greek? And what does it mean in the Hebrew? It means all, ladies and gentlemen, in the Hebrew as well as the Greek. And it said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered or saved him out of all his trouble. So the first thing he did was cry. Somebody said, I can't seem to get over my troubles. Well, are you crying unto the Lord? Have you talked to the Lord about your troubles lately? I'll tell you, we'll find ourselves in trouble somehow, some way, and rather than calling upon God and letting God take care of that situation for us, we want to try to get out of those troubles ourselves. May I say to you, the more we wiggle and squirm and worm and try to get out under our own power, the deeper we're going to get involved, and we're not ever going to be able to get out of them under our power. It is going to take the power and the grace of Almighty God to get us out of them troubles. The psalmist said, this poor man cried. And then I like this. This poor man cried. And it says, and the Lord heard. Isn't that a magnificent thing? Call unto me and I will answer thee. How's he going to answer us? Because he hears us. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Amen. Isn't that a blessed thing to know that as a child of God, that we can cry unto the Lord and the Lord is going to hear us. I've used this illustration more times than once, but how many mommies and daddies in here tonight have children that if that child went to crying and lamenting, and you know when something's wrong with them and when they're just crying to be crying, but when they're seriously in trouble and that cry comes before your ears, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to rush to their rescue, and if they're in trouble, you're going to help them in that time of trouble. And God is a present help in trouble for you and I tonight. Amen to God. And I'm glad that he hears our cry. And then the Bible said there that he saved him, or he delivered him out of all his troubles. And then I want to say number two, that the Lord delivers us from Satan. Now, boy, I'll tell you what a blessing that is to know. And I'd never thought about this verse before, but I want to read you what Brother Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verses 16 and 17. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. At my first answer. And I got to wondering, Lord, what does that word answer mean? He said, at my first answer. You would think somebody else was speaking to him. You answer somebody else. I said, what does that mean? So I looked up that word answer, and it means plea. Paul said, at my first plea, no man stood with me. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you get down to that, when you get down that low, that there's not a friend that you know that will stand with you, when you're in trouble, you're in more trouble than what you realize. Paul said, at my first answer, or at my first plea, there wasn't anybody stood with me. There wasn't anybody that would help me. Praise God, we hadn't got that bad off today. Why do we walk around belly grubbing all the time? We hadn't got that low today. We've still got some folks that'll help us, amen to God, that'll help us if we cry unto them or plead unto them. But he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, get this now, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, that by me preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Boy, and here's the part I like. And he goes on to say, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm going to ask you something. Who do you hate? Who does a lion represent in the Bible? The Bible said Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Boy, I thought that was a blessing. He said he delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. Ladies and gentlemen, come on now, somebody help me out. That's a pretty precarious situation for a man to be in. It's one thing for him to be like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, but it's another thing for him to have you in his mouth and yet the Lord deliver you from the mouth of the lion. You know what I thought when I read that? I thought about a little old shepherd boy named David out yonder on the backside of the desert taking care of his daddy's sheep. And the Bible said, and a lion and a bear came out. And he said, I grabbed that lion by the chinny chin whiskers. And he said, I took that little sheep right out of his mouth. Amen to God. And I'm telling you, David is the type of the king. And that little sheep is a type of the children of God. Amen. And I tell you, we serve a God tonight that is able to take us out of the very jaws of the lion. Amen. If you can get a hold of that, He can deliver us right out of the very jaws of death and destruction and devastation tonight by the power of God. What a privilege it is that God will deliver you and I from the power of Satan tonight.
Amen.
Then I thought about another fellow that got in trouble with some lions. I'm sure you know who that was. A fellow named Daniel. He got put in a den of lions. And it wasn't a lion's den. The Bible doesn't say a lion's den. If it's been a lion's den, there may not have been any devil, any lions in it. But it says in a den of lions. There were some lions in there. And I'm going to tell you something. There's more than one lion in there. Amen. There was more than one lion in there. There was a lion in there called the devil. But I'm going to tell you something else. There was another lion in there called the lion of the tribe of Judah. Somebody say amen right there and hallelujah to God. Now I'm telling you that, hey, that God delivered him from the mouth of the lion and delivered him out of the lion's den. And if God delivered Daniel, I kept wanting to say David, God will deliver you and I also. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Thanks for somebody helping me. I kept wanting to say David and knew it wasn't David. I'm glad God delivers us from trouble and God delivers us from Satan as well. And then I want to say thirdly, while I'm there, I want to say God delivers from sin. Hallelujah. Woo! Sin had a hold on me, friend. Sin was dragging me down the corridors of death that eventually led into the depths of hell. But oh, my great God reached down an omnipotent hand of loving mercy. And by His grace, He lifted me out, hallelujah, of that sin and washed me in His own precious blood and made me a candidate for heaven, hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God will still deliver sinners today from their sin. That's right, but it'll take God. It's not by the water fountain. I'm talking about the baptistry. There's some folks today that want to baptize you, you know. They want to baptize you. There's folks today that want you to join the church. They want you to sign a prayer card. They want you to repeat some little old printed prayer they've made up. But I'm going to tell you, I found out a long time ago that none of them things work. You know what works? Hey, the Lord and the Lord only. Salvation is of the Lord. And it takes the Lord to deliver a man from sin. By the way, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Hallelujah. That word quickened means made alive. I was dead. My spirit was dead. But oh, when the Holy Ghost breathed on my never dying soul, thank God my spirit came alive in me. Amen to God. And God made a brand new creation out of me. Brand new creature in Christ. So I won't say we've got that blessed privilege of deliverance. Now, sinner, boy, or girl, if you're here tonight, you don't have that privilege. God may spare you, and God may help you, but He's not bound to. Now, I want to say this, and I say this as humbly as I know how. As a Christian, as God's child, God is bound by His eternal covenant of grace to you and I. To deliver us from our trouble.
Amen.
He may not deliver when we think He should. But I'm telling you, He will deliver.
Amen.
I don't know how long Job went through his troubles. But he went through them a while. But I'm telling you, on the final analysis, God delivered Job out of all his trouble. And if God delivered Job, God will deliver you and I also. I don't know how long he was in that. Hey, I know one fella that got in trouble in the belly of a whale. But you know something? God delivered him out of the belly of that whale. Amen. Paul seemed to stay in trouble. In one jailhouse and out of another one. Got thrown in jail down in Philippi. And I think him and Silas must have got singing a jailhouse rock. They said there's a great earthquake. Amen. Said that place began to rock and the doors were opened up. What are you saying? God delivered him out of that jail. Amen. That's right. Now I'm going to say secondly, not only do we have the privilege of deliverance, But we have the privilege of exaltation and consequent safety. I want you to get a hold of that. Please, listen carefully. The privilege of exaltation and consequent safety. Look at verse number 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Notice these next words. I will set him on high. Now, I don't know how you take that, but to me, high is high. And low is low. It said he's going to set us on high.
Amen.
Hey, we have been raised up together. And then been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. If you don't think being a Christian is an exalted position from what you were as a sinner, you better go read your Bible. You were in the muck and the mire of sin, and your righteousnesses were but filthy rags. But Christ died, amen, for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. And so He lifted us up. He exalted us and lifted us up on high. It's as if God is saying, I will place him out of the reach of danger. I will raise those who trust me above the stormy seas of life. Now I'm telling you, friend, the seas of life can get rough sometimes. But God has raised us above the stormy seas of life. He places us on an immovable rock where the thundering and threatening waves cannot reach us. Hallelujah to God. Let the waves roll. I remember years ago, greatest vacation Mrs. Hall and I have ever had. And we planned it. Would you believe we sat down and actually planned it out? We said, we're going up to Massachusetts. We're going to that Pilgrim's Plantation. We're going to see the Mayflower. We're going on up to Gloucester and spend some time up there on the ocean. We didn't realize it. We got up there, Gloucester, the ocean was rocky. I mean, all along that ocean, I mean, even right in front of our motel where we were at, just big boulders, huge boulders. Sister Hall and I went out there and played on them boulders. And I remember standing up on one of those rocks and watching that sea. And that sea would roll in and the waves would roll in and they'd bash up against that rock. But they couldn't get any higher than that rock. Then they'd roll back out in the sea. And in a minute, they'd roll back in again. And they'd bash against that rock. Then they'd roll back out in the sea. And I'm standing on that rock, looking down at them. And I'm standing there thinking, hey, I'm pretty safe up here on this rock. I wouldn't be too safe down in that water. But as long as I'm up on this rock, them waves can't get to where I'm at. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God has exalted us and lifted us up and placed us in a place of safety by placing us on an immovable rock, ladies and gentlemen, that the waves and the storms of life cannot budge, thank God. We're founded on the eternal rock of ages and let the storms of life roll. Thank God we're safe as long as we're on that rock. Hallelujah to God. Better believe they are. Amen. Well, I know a lot of people don't believe that.
Amen.
Them waves start rolling in and fear strikes our heart. And, you know, we want to get cold feet. We want to run. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, some people in here can tell you what you do. If you run, you're what, Brother Doe?
Done.
If you run, you're done.
Amen.
You get a hold of that. I don't tell them to. That's wisdom in case you don't know it. You don't run from your troubles. You take a ship out in the middle of the sea and it sees a tidal wave or a big wave coming. It don't try to turn around and run from that wave. It'll never make it. That wave broadsides it, it's going over. Buddy, you got to face those waves head on, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you tonight by the grace and help of God, if you run, you're done. Praise God. Hey, you got to realize that God, we're God's child and He has privileged us by exalting us and lifting us up and raising us up and setting us on that rock that is a place of safety from all the storms of life that cannot reach us. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Woo! Amen. He places them on an immovable rock where the thundering and the threatening waves cannot reach them. And then he'll let us soar like an eagle in a place where our enemies can't reach us. He's exalted us and lifted us up. You realize that an eagle, as long as he is in his habitation, has absolutely no enemies at all. I don't know of any. While that big bird's out there sailing hundreds of feet up in the air, as far as and by the way, he said, if you wait on the Lord, you will mount up with wings as eagles.
Amen.
That's right. God wants us to, I told him in there the other day, I said, God wants us to soar like an eagle. But I said, it's kind of hard to soar like an eagle when you work with turkeys. But I'm going to tell you something else about that eagle. You soar like an eagle. You're above all of your situations of life, all your troubles of life. You can look at them from a greater viewpoint. You have the advantage. You can look down on them. And by the way, God's given that eagle such eyesight that it can actually see something as small as a mouse moving in the grass from hundreds of feet up in the air. He can see that. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God has exalted us and lifted us up. He has let us soar like an eagle. We can be eagle Christians if we want to be, and soar above our troubles, look down on our enemies, amen, and realize that there's no harm they can ever do to us as long as we're in our habitation.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're struggling a little bit tonight. I knew we was going to, and that's why I delayed in preaching. I realized that we would. Then I want to say number three, not only the privilege of deliverance and the privilege of exaltation and consequent safety, but the privilege of answers to our prayers. If you would, look what he says. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. The privilege of prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Come on now, listen to me. It is a blessed privilege to pray. And every godly person will pray. I said that this morning. It's a privilege that we have to pray, that God has allowed us to come into His presence, just like He did Esther when Esther's people was about to die. And Mordecai said, you've got to go into the king. She said, hey, the king has not called for me. And he said, you've got to go in anyway. Haman is about to put our people to death. And she said, I'll go in, and if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to tell you something. When she walked to the door of that room where that king was on that throne and stood there arrayed in all of her beauty, glory, that king picked up that golden scepter and extended it out to her, and she entered into that throne room where he was at. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's kind of hard for God, who by His grace has made us what we are. We may not see much in ourselves, but I'm going to tell you, when He looks on us, He sees a picture of His grace and the work that grace has done upon us. Now, I'm going to tell you, when He sees that grace, I'll guarantee you He'll extend that golden scepter and invite you and I into that throne room where He's at. Yes, you better believe it. Amen. And it's a blessing to enter into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Amen. 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 Answers to prayer. Answers to prayer. The answers of our prayers, listen to me carefully, may not always be the granting of our requests. God may not always do what we want Him, what we ask Him to do. Several years ago, Dr. Seidler said he went up to a little mountain church in North Carolina to preach. He said before the service that night, him and the pastor was in a little room praying together, and said they were both praying out loud, but said he could hear what the other gentleman was saying. And said he heard that pastor say, oh, Lord, said, we need your help tonight. said, please eliminate Dr. Seitler's mind. You'll catch it after a while. He meant illuminate. And he said, oh, Lord, eliminate Dr. Seitler's mind. Dr. Seitler said, Lord, please don't answer that man's prayers.
Amen.
And there are some prayers that God's not going to answer for you and I the way we want them answered.
Amen.
He may refuse to do them, to answer them the way that we want them answered. There are some times that He delays answering them.
Amen.
There are some times that He don't answer them for a long time off.
Amen.
But He will answer every prayer one way or another. Somebody said, well, you just said He would refuse it. He answered it.
Yeah.
He said no.
Amen.
There are some things that we ask God for that we want to consume upon our own lusts.
Right.
And God is going to say no to those things.
Right.
But thank God for the privilege that we do have to pray. And whatsoever we pray in the will of God, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, John said, we know that we have those things that we ask of Him.
Amen.
Come on now and help me out a little bit. It may be a refusal. But God, it may be by a promise. God answers by promise. God answers by providence. God answers by bringing us relief. God can answer us in those ways. Listen carefully. True prayer is always answered by God and is answered in infinite wisdom and love. God is too wise to ever make a mistake, and He loves us too much to ever do us wrong. And I'm going to tell you, every prayer that we pray, and what a privilege it is to pray. That crowd out there don't have that privilege. But I'm going to tell you, you can mark it down every time God answers a prayer. In any way He answers it, it is answered according to His wisdom and His love for you and I. Oh, what a great God we have. I'm telling you, the world out there don't have that. How many times have you, say, come up on an accident out on the highway or something, the first thing somebody holler, oh, God. They haven't prayed since they've been born. And they want to call out to God. I'm going to tell you, God's not going to hear that prayer. God's not going to hear that prayer. Hey, sinner, I've heard people say that God hears the prayers of sinners. The only prayer God will hear of a sinner is that sinner is seeking salvation. God will hear. But I'm going to tell you, if you're lost, you need to pray. Because I'm telling you, they're not going to get to God. It's a privilege afforded to the redeemed, to the child of God and the child of God only.
Amen.
Now, I know all of you. And if your children needed something, I could get it for them, I'd do it. But as a rule, the children, these kids that I don't know, I'm not as apt to do so much for them as I am my own or these that are in this church. And that's the way it is with God. He's going to do for His own. He will do for His own. He will answer the prayers of His own. But not for those out yonder in the world. Their prayers are fruitless. They might as well not pray. But I'm going to tell you, the shame of it is, it's a privilege to pray, and we're not praying. It is God has given us an opportunity and a privilege to enter into His divine and holy presence and pray. He said, call. He said, I'm going to answer you if you call. It is a privilege to enter into His divine presence, and yet we neglect that privilege that we have.
Amen.
For the most part, we'll neglect it. It's hard to pray. Somebody asked Brother Sammy Allen one time, said, how do you pray? He said, I got to make myself pray. He said, where do you find time to pray? He said, I got to make time to pray. Now I'm telling you, if you pray, you have to make time to do it, or it won't get done. Because the devil will see to it, and the flesh will see to it, that it don't get done. But if you will make time to do it, it'll get done.
Amen.
It won't hurt you to hear this again. I'd get home from school every night about 9:30, 9:45, eat my beans and hot dogs, sit in the living room in the house and read all of my books and all of my assignments for the next night in Bible college. Then I'd read my Bible sometime about 2:00 in the morning every night of the week. Are you listening to me? Every night of the week, I got down on my knees on that orange ottoman over at house and prayed. You know why? I made time to pray. It didn't matter to me if it was midnight, 1:00, 2:00, or 3:00 in the morning. I was going to pray. I had made up my mind.
My mind was fixed. My heart was fixed. I'm going to pray and call unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you why. Because I know that God hears like Paul. And if God hears, I know that God answers. Praise His wonderful name. God will answer. They may be prolonged, but God will answer them. I prayed on that altar for my children to be saved. They wasn't all saved when I thought they were saved either. But I'm going to tell you, one at a time, they finally got in. Amen. One at a time, they finally got in. God didn't do it right then, but one at a time, later down the road, my children began to get saved by the grace of God. God answered those prayers. Some of you in here, hey. I prayed for some of you in here, not by name and not by face, but I prayed for some of you in here 27 years ago. Oh, you say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. Every night when I'd pray, I didn't know where I was going to pastor. I'd begin to pray and say, God, help my people. Whoever they might be, wherever they might be, God, help them. Amen. Help me to preach to them and be a blessing to them. Help me to tell them about the grace and the love of God. Help me to tell them about a God that'll love them when they're low, and He'll love them when they're on the mountaintop. He'll love them when they're in pain, and He'll love them when they're in sorrow, and He'll love them when they're on the mountaintop. He'll love them at all times.
Amen.
I pray for every one of you. You don't even know it. 27 years ago. Somebody said, does it work? It must. I'm still here.
Amen.
Now I might have to say bye tomorrow, Miss Donna, but I'm here tonight.
Amen.
You realize that, hey, our prayers, there's no such thing with God as time when it comes to praying. God lives in eternity, not time. You realize, hey, that He has a power over distance. I've heard people say, don't do me no good to pray for so-and-so. They live way down here, they live down in Florida. It wouldn't do me no good to pray for them. They couldn't hear me. You don't want them to hear you. It's time that we realize that we want the Lord to hear us. And not some man. We want God to hear us.
Amen.
I say this in love, but I'm telling you what, I'm kind of getting ill. I'm just getting vexed. If you'll read some of our missionary letters, you'll know why I'm getting vexed. I'm getting tired of missionaries writing, if we've got this much money to spend and we need this kind of money, we're building a building. If you want to give money to this, you can help us give money to this, give money to that. When was the last time they got down on their knees and asked God to give them money?
Amen.
I know missionaries that have got better looking buildings than what we have, and we're supporting them. I wonder when was the last time they got on their knees and prayed in $27,000.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Preacher told me the other day, he told us the truth, that he was in a camp meeting. He said some fellow went up to the altar, said several men was at the altar praying, and said he noticed one fellow was down on his knees so you could see the sole of his shoe, and said he had a big hole in the sole of his shoe about that big round. That preacher said, I'm going to take him down here and buy tomorrow and buy him a pair of new shoes. That preacher, sure enough, between breaks the next day, took him down to the store and bought him a brand new pair of Rockports and put on his feet, buddy. Sent him back to the house of God. He said about 6 weeks later, this guy was in another camp meeting and said he went to the altar to pray. And said he got down on his knees and turned up his feet. And said there was that same hole in the sole of them shoes. Sending a pretty strong signal, wasn't it?
Amen.
Somebody else to buy him another pair of shoes. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us.
Amen.
I'm going to say, are we supposed to be like God? God said if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you for anything to eat.
Amen.
I'm telling you who we're to go to is God.
Amen.
The Lord. And it's a blessed privilege He's given us
Amen.
That He hasn't afforded everybody else.
Yes, Amen.
He said, open your mouth wide and see that I'll not fill it in. He ain't talking about with hot air either, buddy.
Amen.
He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Then I'll even show you great and mighty things that you know not of.
Amen.
He said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, for whatsoever thing you ask in my name, believe and I'll give unto you.
Amen.
Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, it shall be done unto you.
Yes.
Boy, that's some pretty good promises from that book. Are you listening? I said He answers by promises, by providence, and by bringing us out of trouble. He sure does. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name.
Amen.
What a privilege. What a privilege just to crawl on our knees and our hands in humility along that blood-sprinkled trail that He's already made behind the veil. His own blood sprinkled, praise God, in a new and a living way behind the veil. What a privilege it is just to get down on our hands and knees and humbly make our way into the presence of God. Somebody said, can you do that? Hey, there's a bear like honey. Cat got a climbing gear. You better believe it. Amen. Yes, sir. Well, there's nothing like it to get in the presence. Some of you in here don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, but to get in His divine and holy presence is worth more than all the riches this world has to offer, ladies and gentlemen. Just one glimpse of His glory. Just one glimpse of His lovely face. It'll cause all of our sorrows to flee away and stay away. By the grace of God.
Yes.
Amen. What a privilege it is just to pray and to call upon His wonderful name.
Amen.
Then I want to say also, and there's a privilege of the presence of God in trouble. You say, preacher, you've been talking about trouble a whole lot lately. Yeah, I have. Look at verse number 15. He shall call upon me. And I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble.
Amen.
The presence of God. And I will be with him in trouble.
Amen.
Now if we can soak that in, if we just stop right there for about an hour and a half and soak that in.
Yes,
I'm not about a godly man.
Yes.
That man that is separated. That man that is consecrated. That man that is holy. That man that is living for God. He said, I will be with him in trouble. I'm a stickler on the presence of God, buddy. I learned a long time ago that you can't get by without a lot of things, but you can't get by without him.
Amen.
Oh, his presence. A good man is not exempt from trouble, but he is supported in the midst of it. Thank God for the support God gives us. Listen carefully now. And the Bible, and I'm not going to give you a turn to the scripture references on these. But when we're languishing in sickness, He'll make our bed and our pillow. That's Bible. That's Bible. Have you ever read it? When we're languishing in sickness, God is so good to us that His presence will be there when we're sick. God will make our bed for us. God will make our pillow for us. That's the Bible. If you want to look it up, look up the word pillow and bed and check it out in your Strong's. See if I'm not telling you right. That's some God, isn't it? It'll come in at night when you're laying there with your fevered brow and take that blanket like a mama would a child and pull it up around that baby's neck and pat that little blanket down and puff up that little pillow and touch that little fevered brow. And I'm telling you, God does His younguns the same way. Hallelujah to God. I sat up there at the hospital this afternoon and listened to Mrs. O'Leary. And she was in the room when her mother died, when Miss Norma's mama died. And she said she laid there on that bed and said she took a big deep breath and let it out and said, then she took another deep breath and let it out and said the breath started getting a little shorter. And said in a minute she just closed her eyes. She just closed her eyes. Went on out to meet God.
Amen.
As far as I know. Man, I'm telling you, I remember when old what's Honey, help me. Huh? Yeah. And brother, was it Robertson? Yeah, Brother Robertson died. I'll call him by his first name. I can't think of it right now. Huh? Ross. Brother Ross Robertson died. Me and Miss Hall walked in his room up there on a Sunday night. He's laying there in that hospital bed. And he hadn't been in there 2 or 3 days. They'd operated on him, just sewed him back up. Hadn't been in there 2 or 3 days. Now I'm laying there. He's laying there in that bed. And he looks over. Miss Hall's on this side of the bed. He rolled over and said, "Hi, Mrs. Hall." I said, "I didn't know you was here." And she said, "We want to come and see you a while, Brother Ross." And he laid over the other, turned that head over there and said, "Well, Brother Hall," he said, "what are you doing up here?" I said, "Well, I wanted to come up here and see you a little while, Brother Ross." He said, "You didn't have to come up here." He said, "It's no big thing." He said, "I'm just going to be with Jesus."
Amen.
Said, "You really didn't have to come up here. And if I'm lying, my wife is my witness over there. When he rolled his head over my way and looked at me, he rolled it right back the other way, and a tear rolled out of that eye and rolled down on his cheek, and Brother Ross just slipped out to meet God." Oh, what are you saying? Brother, you can believe whatever you want to believe. But he said he'd give his angels charge concerning me. I believe God's holy angels was in that room that night. You said, "I don't believe that." They came Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you something more precious than that. It wasn't just the angels in the room that night, but God Almighty was in the room that night to make that bed and fluff that pillow. And he'll be there for you if you're saved by the grace of God. Lost people don't have that privilege, friend. We that are saved do. Thanks be unto God. When we're traveling through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord will be with us. Now I'm going to tell you something else. He'll help us sing while we're walking through it. Amen. Well, isn't that wonderful? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." I'm talking about his presence. That world out there don't have that. I've seen him stand at gravesides. I've seen him, Brother Doug, stand at gravesides and wail and lament and cry.
Yes, sir.
And there's sorrow over death of a loved one, but we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. But I've seen him stand and wail and lament and cry, beg and plead. And I'm telling you, all the begging and pleading in the world is not going to bring that loved one back, ladies and gentlemen. No, sir, all the begging and pleading in the world is not going to bring that loved one back. You better believe that's right. You better believe that's right. But when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to be with us that are saved. He's already promised that. And I believe he's going to give us a little song to sing. And I believe I know what we're going to sing. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Then we look to the Lord and say, "Lord, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and it'll be grace that'll lead me on home." Hallelujah to God. And I'll tell you, it'll be grace that'll carry you and I through the troubles of this life, and grace that'll carry us through the valley of the shadow of death, and it'll be grace that'll carry us into the presence of God. And we are getting around the throne singing before we ever get there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you might not sing "Amazing Grace." You might have another favorite song you want to sing. I don't know. But I believe you walk through that valley, his presence with you.
Amen.
You can't help but to sing. Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you get a hold of that? Those, was it 4 words? 3 words. 4. "Thou art with me." What a blessing. Some of you say, "Well, I don't worry too much about that now." You don't have to worry about it. But I'm here to tell you right now, I don't worry about it either, because I settled a long time ago at the cross. But I'm going to tell you, the older I get, if there is such a word, I sure am gladder that I know he's going to be there. It's just a shadow. It's the shadow of death. Now, I don't know exactly who or what death is. I know the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is going to be death.
Amen.
But apparently death will cast some sort of a shadow in that grave. But a shadow is all it'll be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A shadow is not real. It's just a more or less a copy of something that's there, but that's real, that it's not there. Hallelujah. It'll just be a shadow of death. Not real death. You know why? It already took the sting out of death.
Amen.
How many in here know anything about bees? Anybody know anything about bees? What's a bee do when it stings you? Huh? Oh, it depends on what type of bee is. If he's a wasp, he's going to sting you again.
That's right.
If he's a yellow jacket, he's going to sting you and bite you. If he's a bumblebee, God help you, he's going to pour it on. But that Bible said God took a sting out of death. But I want to tell you something. A little old honeybee, when they sting you, they leave the stinger in your body. And that little honeybee flies off and dies. And ladies and gentlemen, can you hear what I'm saying now? I'm telling you that when Christ died on Calvary, that death rose up. He said, I'm going to take care of him. And when he put the stinger in him, he had a rude awakening. It stayed there. And death flew off and died. Somebody said, you got any scripture with that? Oh, yes. And death and hell shall be cast into a lake of fire.
Right.
Oh, yes. That is the second death. So that tells me that death is going to be cast into the second death. I haven't seen that before. Hallelujah, God. Death is going to be cast into the second death.
Amen.
Amen. And you and I are going free, hallelujah, because the sting of death has already been put in the Son of God. That's right. Old death just flew away and died. Death hath no more power over us. It's what the Bible says. That's Bible, friend. Are you listening? Hey, he is with us as our physician and nurse in pain and in sickness. What a great physician. He really is. And I'm not so sure, and I'm not one to, I'm preaching out of school, but I'm not so sure we oughtn't to go to God a little bit more and forget the doctors. I told Miss Hall over today, I said, I'm telling you right now, these pills, I'm about sick of pills. I never know what kind of a pill I'm going to get. I've been taking Zantac now for years from the VA. They've been a little white oblong pill about that long. I got a bottle of them in today, got a bottle of them in yesterday, went home and opened them up. I just run out, opened them up, and there's some kind of a big yellow horse pill, bless God, look like about as big as your thumb. I said, Lord have mercy, what are they doing sending me them? And, I mean, they want to change on you. I've got so many pills over there, I can't keep track of pills.
Amen.
I've got little yellow ones, three or four little yellow ones, and they all look alike. Sometimes I say, well, if I took this one, what color is this one? Which one of these I got? I put them in this little tin. I say, which one is this? Lord have mercy. I don't know which one this is. I'm going to tell you, I'm about ready to do what that guy, our brother Elliot Smith, told me to do that night. He said, have you ever just considered just throwing them all away? Praise God, that's what I'm about ready to do, just throw them all away. He's our physician and our nurse in pain and in sickness. I'll guarantee you he is. What a privilege to know that when sickness hits our body, that we've got Christ there to wipe our fevered brow. And he'll wait on us. Hey, whew, I just thought about this. As a doctor, he knows what to prescribe. And get this. And guess who gives it to us? The nurse. So apparently the physician must be the Lord and the nurse must be the Holy Ghost. I started to slap Mrs. back. God have mercy. I didn't mean to slap your sister back. I don't have nothing in the world. Amen. So the great physician says, here's what I want him to have or want her to have. Give it to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, well, here's what you need. I'm going to give it to you. Well, how am I going to get it? Out of the Bible. Out of preaching. Come to church. Amen. Read your Bible. Pray. Come to the house of God. That's where you get it. The nurse, the Holy Ghost will see that you get the right amount of dosage every time. You'll never have to worry about being overdosed or underdosed. You'll always have the right dose. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thought we might break through there in a little bit. I didn't know. Amen. He is our strength and weakness. Benny preached up to Brother Smith that night and closed out. He said, Lord, I know I've been feeble and weak. He said that three times. He said, Lord, I know I've been feeble and weak. I mean, feeble, weeble, and feet. And finally, he just shut up and sat down. Brother Smith said, well, I hate it because Brother Benny was feeble and weeble and feet tonight. But sometimes it's that way, you know. But I'm going to tell you, he is our strength and weakness. And we don't think we got the strength to go. I said, over in the house this evening, sat there. Miss Holcomb walking out there and said, honey, said, we got to go. I said, sweetheart, I'm tired. She said, why are you so tired? I said, well, for one thing, I didn't tell her, but I thought for one thing, I'm getting old. For another thing, I'll tell you, I don't know. If I've got everything wrong with me for all the pills they give me down there, I must be a dying man, sure enough. Y'all pray for me, boy. I'm saying, between the eye swabs and the eye drops and all the pills and things, I must be a dying man. I've seen men on their deathbed didn't take as much medication as I'm taking. They must be making good money off Obama. Are y'all listening to me? And I'm telling you what, you'll never have to worry about him giving you the wrong medicine. You'll never have to worry about him overdosing you or underdosing you. He knows exactly what you need. When he prescribes it, he'll give you exactly what you need. And I'm telling you, when you're laying there on that bed, he'll wipe your fevered brow. He'll send that nurse, the Holy Ghost, in there to comfort you and to take care of you. That is a privilege of a child of God. Those people out there know nothing about that.
Amen.
Nothing about that. For my life, I really don't see how people can stand to die without Christ. I don't know what's going through their mind, and I don't know what's in their heart, that they resist the Lord Jesus Christ and die without Him when they know hell is out there. That's right. And they know that heaven is real. Oh, they'll tell you that they believe in heaven and hell, but they're not saved, a bit more than a billy goat saved. That troubles me. It breaks my heart. I mean that. I'd like to see everybody saved, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I'd like to see everybody under the blood. I mean, I'd like to see everybody saved by the grace of God. It breaks my heart. Try to talk to some people, you know, well, I'm not interested in that. I've got my own religion. Well, they might have religion. I've got salvation. I've got Christ. I don't know how I got off on that. Amen. I might run a few more rabbit tracks for this night, sir. He is our guide in difficult times. He is our life in death. I won't say number five. Number five, another privilege, is the conference of distinguished honor. Notice what he said in verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. Can you imagine that? That here we are sinners, wicked, ungodly, and undone, and yet God is going to honor us? As a matter of fact, He's got five crowns He wants every one of us to have. Five of them. You read the Bible, there's five crowns He wants us to have. He wants us to crown us with every one of them.
Amen.
God wants to honor us. You better believe He does. Hallelujah. He wants to honor us by delivering us from danger and trial, by sustaining us in suffering and sorrow, by raising us into the most exalted relationships. That's the one I want to get to. What honor? Can you realize the honor? John said in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What an honor for a dirty, low-down, filthy, nasty sinner like me.
Amen.
That ought to be frying in hell tonight.
Amen.
But God said that He's made me a son of God.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. What a privilege. What a privilege. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become what? The sons of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad tonight. And if I'm His son, that means He's my father. Brother Steve taught on the Father this morning. Hallelujah, Sunday school. He is our Father, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. If we're His son, He is our Father. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a God. Mm-mm-mm. What honor to be called a son of God. I've been called a lot of other sons before. You'll catch that in after a while. But I'm glad I'm called a son of God.
Amen.
I remember when I got saved, some of them down there at Ballard Keeling Supermarket said, oh, that's just Gary Truman Hall, son. He'll never amount to anything. Well, I ain't amounted to much, but I'm telling you what, I ain't what I used to be. I guarantee you, if I wake up in the morning vomiting, it won't be because I'm drunk.
Amen.
If I wake up in the morning cut all up, it won't be because I went out and got in a fight.
Amen.
Or if I wake up in the morning with my nose matched, it'll be because Miss Hall done it. Bless God, not me. Y'all know what she done to me the other night? She says she didn't do it, but I'm telling you right now she done it. Buddy, I was there, and I guess I ought to know. Here I'm laying there in the bed minding my own business, and all of a sudden, pop! I said, what are you doing? She said, you're snoring. Roll over. I said, okay. So I rolled over. Now here's what she said. She said, I did not smack you. She said, I just reached over and rubbed your face and said, sweetheart, you're snoring. Now I'm going to tell you, sure was stinging a whole lot to be a rub. He says, I'm going to get it bad the next time. I told her one night I rose up in the bed. She got back in the bed in the bathroom, and I stood up and I said, you better get off me, Jack. She said, shut up and lay down. Yes, ma'am. Praise God. That woman means business, boy. I'm telling you, them Eastern Kentucky girls, you don't fool with them, boy. We hadn't been married a week sitting at her daddy and mama's breakfast table one Sunday morning. And she was sitting eating, and I was aggravating her. And she said, don't do that. I said, oh, don't do that, huh? So I just stirred me up. I'd done again. She said, I said, don't do that. I said, well, we'll just push this to the limit. Her mom and daddy sitting there. I'd done it again. She didn't say, I said, don't do that. She's sitting there eating biscuits and gravy and sausage with a fork. She just says, yuck. And I said, you ever been stabbed in the leg with a 5-pronged fork? Woman stabbed me one time with a darning needle. I mean, shoved that through. It went in plumb over that big hook and just hung in my hand and dangled there. She said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I said, sorry, ain't going to help it none, sis. We may need major surgery to get that boy out of there. You needed a good laugh tonight. Amen. Can I give you another exalted position He's given us? Can you get a hold of this? He said in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Amen.
Even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Even. Just like. Jesus said, I overcome and I sit down with my Father. And if you overcome, you can sit right down by me.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessed privilege that is to know that if we was to die tonight, ladies and gentlemen, can you get a hold of that? I can imagine here we're sitting there, and there's the Father, there's Jesus, and here's me. You talking about a privilege? Sitting next to Jesus in heaven.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's what the book said. He said, they'll sit down with me. Around the throne as I sit down with my Father. That's Bible, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't write that. It's not a Sears Roebuck catalog.
Amen.
Can you imagine a marriage supper? And Jesus girding Himself and serving us. What a privilege. Can you imagine the God of glory humbling Himself not only to die, but humbling Himself to serve us when we get to heaven? Amen. And I don't know what you think, but I believe we're going to have the judgment seat. It's going to last 3.5 years. I believe the second 3.5 years, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. 3.5 years. You got to eat, boys. And we're going to eat for 3.5 years. Amen. Then you know what? Jesus is going to say, "Mount up!" He's going to get on that white horse. Somebody said, "Do you really believe there's horses up there?" The Bible said they were. He's going to get on that white horse, and we're all going to get on white horses behind him. And here's what we're going to be running through our mind. We're going back down there and show them boys what's going on. But the Bible said Jesus will destroy him with the brightness of His coming and the sharp two-edged sword that goes out of His mouth. That's His word. That's His word. You realize that when He comes back, all He's got to do is say, "Die!" And they're all dead, friend.
Amen.
Cut that gold and silver string. They're gone. We ain't going to have to do no fighting. He'll fight our battles for us.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to rule and reign with Him. Now I got to hurry. And number six, I only got two more, and I'll be done here right quick. Number six, satisfaction with a duration of life upon this earth. I want to ask something. We ought to be satisfied. It's only a little bit after 8. I got a little while. We ought to be satisfied with ever how long we live upon the earth. We're all going to live long enough to do the work God has called us to do.
Amen.
I don't care. I don't care how long you might want to live. We're going to live as long as it takes for us to do what God wants us to do in His purpose for us. And we all have a purpose, according to Romans 8. And when that purpose has been fulfilled, we are going home. It doesn't matter if it's 35 years or 135 years. When that is finished, we are going home. Somebody said, "I don't believe that." Well, I do. We'll live until we are fully, we're going to live until we're fully ready for heaven. And when we get ready, who in heaven's name would want to wait one more day? If we're ready, who wants to wait? Here's what Paul said. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." Amen. He said, "I'm ready." And we're going to live until we're ready. You realize all the stuff that Paul went through. Read all the troubles and perils of life that Paul went through. And out of every one of them, God delivered him. You know why? Because God wasn't done with Paul. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, we are immortal. We are immortal on this earth until God is done with us. All the imps of hell can't kill us. You better believe that's right. Hallelujah. I know it's getting late. Nate is getting restless. But you ain't going to do nothing to go and watch television no how. Let's keep you out of trouble. Now, he who lives long lives well. Now listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. And time misspent is not lived but lost. He who lives long lives well. And time misspent is not, what did I say? Time misspent is not lived but lost. That's just a simple way of saying we ought to be doing what we can do for God now.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, if the Lord gives, what are we going to do if the Lord gives us all these years and we get to heaven and stand beside somebody like David Brainerd, or what if we stand beside somebody like Charles Spurgeon and you say, you look and say, "Mr. Spurgeon, what did you do in your life on the earth?" "Well, I pastored a church with 5,000 people and preached to large congregations. I wrote I don't know how many books. I preached I don't know how many thousand messages. I preached. I did this and I did that." By the way, what did you do on earth? I didn't quite achieve that. And here Mr. Spurgeon died when he was 59. And a man may die when he's 109 or 159. And a man can die at 59 and do more than a man that did that died at 159. I'm going to tell you, David Brainerd died at 29 years old and done more in those 29 years than most men will do in 10 lifetimes. God help us. We waste more time today on frivolous things than I've ever seen before in my life. And I'm hurrying. We'll think it long enough for God. We shall think it long enough for God. By His grace, He shall wean us from the world and make us willing to leave and make us die and leave it. Can you believe that? That God will start weaning us. I'm already in the weaning process. You know, Mama has to wean a baby. God has to wean us off of this world. And He will make us ready to die. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Oh, yes, I believe He will. He'll start pulling us away from this world and giving us visions of glory that we've never seen before. Give us that desire in our heart to leave this place. I believe this is where I got these verses of Paul written down. I think it is. It may not be. No, it's not. I want to say too, a man may die young and yet die full of days. A man may die 30 years old and die full of days. One last thing and I'm done. Full salvation. Full salvation. Look what it says in verse number 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When the good man's life upon earth is ended, God will admit him to the enjoyment of his complete, glorious, and everlasting salvation in heaven. What a blessed thought that is. Now listen carefully, and I'm just about done. Hey, here we catch glimpses of his salvation. There we shall see it fully and clearly revealed. We just catch little glimpses of it every now and then here. But there we're going to see his salvation clearly, perfectly revealed. Clearly. That's right. Here we know its power and blessedness in part. But hereafter, we shall know them in their completeness. I like this. Here we conquer and have to battle again. Isn't that right? We fight one battle and behold, another battle is right on its heels. And we're constantly, it seems like, fighting battles. But I'm telling you, we might fight that battle again here, but there the warfare is all over. And the victory is glorious, and the victory is endless. I'm closing right here. Here we partake of His salvation in the kingdom of grace. There, in the kingdom of His glory.
Amen.
We're in grace now. But the Lord is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. What about them privileges? I tried to preach them. I know I run rabbit tracks and one thing and another. But I tried to do the best I could. We've got privileges tonight, church, that'll thrill your soul if you ever get a hold of them and start seizing upon them.
Amen.
They'll thrill your soul, I'll assure you that. Let's stand together.